Manx Radio's Countryside is brought to you by NFU Mutual.
Hello and welcome to Countryside here on Manx Radio. I'm Simon Clark.
And I'm Kerry Kermode. This week I catch up with Raymond Gorn, taking a look back at growing up on the farm and celebrating 80 years of young farmers.
Also, I went along to Tai Vun. That's a house that's been dedicated to the new internship programme run by the Manx Wildlife Trust. And also, I popped along to view some of the ploughing going on at the Southern Young Farmers Ploughing Match. Well, we'll be coming on to ploughing very shortly, Kerry, on the programme, but it's that time of year. I've seen a lot of ploughs out, but when I was there, as you'll hear on the weekend, the ground's still soft in places.
It really is. It's great to see that spring is just around the corner and the temperature has been quite mild. It was a beautiful day on the weekend for the ploughing, but we need a few more days like that to make life a bit easier.
Yeah, and the lambing, a lot of the lambing finished now? Or
no, just midway and a few still left to get started, depending on where you are around the Isle of Man. But I think it has been a favourable one so far, albeit being a bit wet, there's still plenty of grass around. So hopefully a good start for many of those sheep farmers.
Yeah, and it's funny how the sheep sort side of things on farm, and it's more or less stayed the same, you know, the spring lambs and everything. But you know, when you look back at the dairy world, there was a lot of changes, wasn't there, of calculating when the best milk prices and things were, wasn't there?
That's it. A lot of the time farming is governed by the financial return, and some people have moved the lambing towards Christmas time because that early spring trade at Easter is a little bit stronger than the main sales in September time. So it just depends on your farm and how you can handle it, but things do change, especially given what markets are changing around the world.
Yes. Well, Manx Wildlife Trust, they're involved in a lot of projects around the Isle of Man. They've got a lot of help and volunteers, and a lot of people who have got a great interest in the wildlife and flora and fauna of the Isle of Man. Well, there's 4 internships available for grabs, and to find out more about it and the new establishment which they'll be staying at, I spoke to the CEO of the Manx Wildlife Trust, Graeme Makepeace-Warren.
Well, firstly, Graeme, thank you for inviting me to this wonderful establishment here, Tai Vun. Explain a little bit more why we're here.
Yeah, Tai Vun, Munn's House. So the building was donated to Manx Wildlife Trust, along with the very sensitive refurbishment of the property, because it is a period property, on the front in Peel, nice blue colour, you can't miss it. And Manx Wildlife Trust has always had this ambition to be able to host interns in an equitable way. We've run internships before, but they tend to be people who are based on Ireland who can live with their parents whilst they do the internship with us, and that's fair enough. But if we want to reach the absolute best interns and people that are early in their conservation career, we need to be able to host them, and this property allows us to do that. And as you say, it's a really nice place to do it.
Now, the internships, obviously, people like yourself, people who are involved in wildlife, a lot of people have travelled to different parts of the world to see how things are there. And this is the chance, I suppose, for people all over the different parts of the world to come to the Isle of Man.
Absolutely. Experience is really important for people early in their conservation career. In fairness, it's hard to get into conservation without experience. This is something I found 8 years ago, and in fact I spent time tracking wolves in Germany just to build up some experience in conservation before I started. And you know, we had the marine lab in Port Erin for many years, and we still enjoy the benefits of that. So Dr. Lara Howe, our marine officer, was one of the last students to come out of the marine biology lab before it closed down. So we have lost something there, and I don't think we're really feeling the effects of that loss yet. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, 4 interns a year is going to replace that, but we'd like to think it will give an opportunity to 4 early career conservationists to come to the island, see what we've got on offer here, and see what a great career they could have here, and maybe some will stick around.
What does the internship involve? Obviously, there's so many different areas of wildlife.
Yeah, we thought long and hard about how to do this. We could have 4 generic interns who try a bit of everything, and I think there will be an element of that. But what we thought we would do in this first year is try having 2 sort of generic terrestrial conservationists, 1 marine intern and 1 engagement intern. But as I say, I think there will be opportunities for them to try out each other's roles and try things with different groups. And I'm hoping that we can partner with other organisations on the island like Maxwell and Dolphin Watch, Max Bird Life. They can have use of the interns for short periods of time to give those interns a bigger breadth of experience.
But of course, in your career in wildlife, Graham, you've been involved in seeing and maybe nurturing people who have been involved in the internships in the past?
Yes, absolutely. As I say, we've had internships at MWT before. Generally, people who already live on island, so they would stay with their parents while they come and work with MWT. And I think there's been some real success stories there. Rachel Smith is one that I've mentioned. She's now a biosphere youth representative. She was really great for MWT, but I think she also received a lot of great experience, and that has really propelled her into the start of her career.
Your involvement as well, have you seen the enthusiasm from people who maybe live in all different parts of the world or Europe who have put a direct interest? I'd love to go to the Isle of Man, see what's going on there, because there is a lot here for the people, isn't
there? Absolutely. There's no surprise for me that the Isle of Man is the world's first whole nation biosphere reserve. I sit on the biosphere board, I sit on the Visit Isle of Man board, and I think the Isle of Man, although I'm not from here originally, I chose to move here. I think it has loads to offer. It has some really unique wildlife. 28% of the UK Isle of Man combined numbers of chough. There's real reasons for people to come here to see wildlife and work with wildlife. 85% of our territory is marine. So whether that's puffins, Manx shearwater, basking sharks, seals, we have some really interesting species and some really interesting habitats here. And I think that will attract a very high level of intern to the island.
How do you get the interest from far afield?
Well, we want one intern every year to be from a UK overseas territory. That's something that we want to do, something that our funder wants to do. We're looking at getting funding to support their travel costs to the island. And there's a really close-knit network between all the UK overseas territories, the UK Overseas Territories Conservation Forum. Islands tend to, wherever they are in the world, suffer the same issues, certainly from climate change and other issues affecting nature conservation and restoration. So it makes sense that we work together, and it'd be great. We have a twinning programme with Montserrat, and it'd be great to get at least one intern each year coming from a UK overseas territory to see just how wonderful the Isle of Man is and see how we do things here.
So the process, is it underway now to find the people?
Absolutely. So the first interns will start this September. The internships run from September to May each year. And we have just launched the application process. We've got quite a long application process, so it runs up until the end of April, I want to say. And then we'll be having interviews early May, hoping to give people plenty of time to make their plans to come to the island in September. And it was key for me that we launched this before the end of the academic year, so that people had time to plan their next move after they finish their degrees or their masters or whatever they might be working on.
It's a really unique opportunity for people, and even people who are on the island who involved a little bit in it, but know people who maybe you've been to university with and things like that. Is there no specific age or anything involved?
No, it's for early career conservationists and ecologists, so they could be of any age. It's open to anyone, whether on or off the island. And our hope is that with this amazing house, this amazing accommodation, we'll be able to attract really high level interns. And it will be of mutual benefit, so they can obviously help grow MWT, help us with the work that we do to restore nature in the Isle of Man. And at the same time, they will get training, they will get specific certificates and things that they need for their career, and they will get on-the-ground experience and learning that will help them get into a good career in conservation and ecology.
So people listen to this who may want to pass the information on. I mean, you've shown me around this very, very beautiful building. It's not just a little pokey flat in the middle of everywhere. The facilities are great and the views are great here as well, aren't they? And it really would be great for people to see it, you know, if they know they're coming over to here, to see the facilities they've got and to see a little bit of the Manx countryside. I think hopefully get a lot of interest, Graham.
Yeah, I would hope so. I didn't know what a Maltese balcony was until we got this out. So we're sat right now in a Maltese balcony. It's not the nicest of days, but we're looking out over Peel Bay. We can see the castle. On a nicer day than today, you could probably do a sea watch and keep an eye out for moonlight and starlight in the bay. But, you know, this is clearly a great draw. We want as many people to know about this around the world. So I would ask people to share our socials, and also there's a page on our website, mwt.im, about the internships and about the property.
And they can get all the information if they want to apply themselves or to pass the information on from the Manx Wildlife Trust Facebook or website.
Yeah, absolutely. mwt.im/interns. That has all the information about the internships.
Graham Makepeace-Warne from the Manx Wildlife Trust, and the fabulous facility that, isn't it? And it's such a generous donation, you know, to let them use that.
It really has grown here on the Isle of Man, and they're getting out and around in the countryside, and the biodiversity here, I suppose, is such a great place to come and learn and see it all in its glory. The island is just an incredible place to explore.
Yeah, and as Graham said there, people around the other side of the world, they may not even heard of the Isle of Man, some of them, and yet when they learn more about it and when they're interested in wildlife and conservation, that's one of the places they want to come and see it for themselves, isn't it? So it's great. Well, last week on the programme, you'll have heard us talking to various people celebrating the 80 years of the Southern Young Farmers here on the Isle of Man, Kerry. And Raymond Gorn was one of the people you spoke to, and we didn't get a chance to get it all in on last week's programme, but some great memories.
It is always great to catch up with Raymond, and it's funny how we're talking about the ploughing in this week's programme, and that was his favourite job growing up on the farm. I caught a good 20 minutes with him, and here's some of the pieces that I thought might be of interest.
Did you have to have a good relationship with the horses? You know, they were on the farm so important. How did you know you had a good horse, you know, for that job, that work?
Well, right from the time we were in Ballyblack, used to always have, it was your job to take the horse to the farrier.
Right.
So the blacksmith, like, so you got to know the horses and they get to know you, like, so.
Yeah. And did you ever get any naughty ones? Would they play up, or were they fairly good disciplined?
They're all quite. You got the odd one. It was, I used to get a trammer out to make up the numbers.
Aye, of course, yeah.
And, it was quite interesting, really.
Yeah. And it's funny you should talk about the ploughing, and we're here to talk about the Southern Young Farmers' 80th celebrations this year. It's nice to see some of the young ones showing a bit of interest in it again now, Ray. You know, the young farmers seem to have it in their calendar. It is so important to get a good seedbed for the springtime ahead.
Yes, without a doubt, like, you know. But ploughs are so big now that they've got to go too deep, you're getting into the, not, I wouldn't call it nice soil underneath, like, you know, but it was barely 6 inches when we were ploughing with,
really?
6 by 10, that was it.
Yeah, yeah. And did you always have good soil to work with, or?
Oh yes, without a doubt.
Yeah. And what's it like down here at Pool Vash?
Good in places, with lots of stones. Rocks.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fair, fierce day here when it's coming in off the sea. I know that much myself.
Yes, yes.
And going on to the young farmers side of it, Ray, was it something you were keen to get involved with? The Southern Young Farmers, like I say, is celebrating its 80th year now, 1946, they got going. Was it important for you to get involved with the Young Farmers Club?
Well, we were at Ballyblack and the level never got into the club at all, like, you know. It was sort of a different class, like, you see.
Right. So,
well, yes. And it was Roy Yellen that got me in, like.
Up from Blown?
Yes.
Right, I see.
that the young farmers started a ploughing match, first ploughing match they ever had. And, of course, had to plough that.
And was that with the tractor?
Yes.
How did you get on?
I'm not sure. I was up in
the top end.
Yeah.
And how many ploughmen would have been at it that one time, Ray?
Ooh, 20-odd.
Never.
It's in the big field, Ballygawn, big field.
In Port Mary?
No.
No?
In Ronigdale.
Where the cools are at now.
That's it.
Yeah.
There we go. That was Raymond Gawn from Pool Vash talking about his younger days on the farm and just the Isle of Man in general.
It's incredible how these farmers, even at the older age life of them, you know, that they can remember back and talk about the actual field and who was there, you know, 60 or 70, 80 years ago.
It seems just such a simple life. Obviously, they were really hard days. And talking of the young farmers being so social and a great opportunity to get out and meet people. Raymond's always been a man of the community and he still gets out and about to do what he can. But just listening to him there in his Manx accent and just giving us the time to reminisce, it was lovely.
Yeah, and it's incredible that we were just talking beforehand to Brian, one of the fellas from our sales, and talking about, you know, that his family involved in the farm and his dad out ploughing with two horses, a single for a plough, managing to get 10 acres just about done in a day. It's incredible.
They're just phenomenal. And that hard work, you know, we don't know what that feels like to do that kind of scale of work and how important it was. And that's all they had. They had to make do. But yeah, great to catch up with Ray there, especially with the 80th year of Young Farmers too.
You're listening to Countryside here on Manx Radio with Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark. Well, a lot of talk about ploughing on this week's programme, but I went down to witness some for myself. Some old tractors, some more modern tractors were in use, and a pair of horses as well. I spoke to Nicola and David Rawnsley, who were ploughing with the horses. I also spoke to the two judges on the day, Philip Hampton and Robbie Corkish. But first of all, a very experienced competitor and very knowledgeable man about the ploughs that they use and also his tractor as well, Chris Clegg. Chris, you're just about to fire up and head after lunch. How's it been going today?
Not too bad at all. I'm lucky enough to have a good plough. But there is one wet spot over there that's made a bit of a mess of things. Mm. Just couldn't quite get the tractor to run through it. And but that's everybody's got a problem in the field, haven't they?
But is that one of the awkward things about particularly ploughing in a competition, from my limited experience when I was young ploughing? You know, if the wheels start to spin and stuff, you could just ease her out of the ground a bit. But of course, that's, in a competition, you don't want to different heights, do you?
No. All you can do is ease the plough out of the ground, which is what I've had to do today. But it does spoil the ploughing. It'll cost me points, that big wet spot. I'm sure it will. But who cares? I'm here, I'm ploughing, and that's what the day is for.
The plough itself that you've got on the back there, what make is this one?
It's a Massey Ferguson plough. It's never ever done anything other than matchwork. And I think it was bought about 1960.
Right.
And it's, as I say, it's never done anything, only matchwork, so it's not worn. The boards are good. Everything about it is good, and it is a good plough, as I said before. I'm lucky to have a good plough like this one.
What about the tractor itself? This looks familiar, the dashboard on this one, but ours was red.
Well, this was the earlier version of that. This is a Ferguson 35, built in January 57, and in 1959 they changed them to red and grey instead of grey and gold.
Right.
This is just the earlier version, I suppose. Well, good tractor.
Yeah, this one's a diesel, of course.
Oh, yes.
And the forerunner before that. Was it the same basic chassis? They just upgraded the engine, was it, to diesel?
No. Ferguson had diesels, and the majority of the diesel Fergusons had a standard motor company engine in. This has a standard motor company engine in, but a later version of that engine. And I think the specification for the tractor came from America, because Ferguson and Massey Ferguson amalgamated, and there was all sorts of things went on, and the American specification had the two-speed box.
The high-low stuff,
which the ordinary Fergusons don't have, of course, yeah, unless you put an extra bit in. But yeah, good tractor, track and ploughing tractor.
Yeah.
And I rescued it from England.
Really?
Yes.
Good stuff. Well, we'll let you crack on and enjoy it, and it's great to talk to you today, Chris.
Thanks, Simon. Thank you very much. Good to see you.
We'll get a word with a couple of the judges that are here today as well, Philip Hampton and Robbie Corkish. Well, firstly, Philip, for people who aren't sure what the method and the reasoning is behind farmers ploughing, really.
Well, basically, it's when you're planting the new crop, the plough turns over the ground to bury all the weeds and all the old crop, and it buries that underneath, so you're left with a nice fresh brown seed bed, clear weed free seed bed to plant the new crop on. And basically it should be a nice level seed bed, so with everything, when you put the new seeds on, like you would in your garden, everything's at it's a good start for the new crop, and all the new seeds get buried at the same level and everything like that.
Right, and it can be, we're in the field today, which is has had kale in it in the past, this one, and it can be a lay field, which is just grass or stubble, anything, but it all needs ploughing?
Well, probably really in the Isle of Man, or traditionally, most of the ground is ploughed, but in other places in the world, what they call min-till might come into it, where they would actually spray the weeds off chemically and then just give a light disking or direct drill the new crop in. So in some places, yeah, ploughing doesn't happen. It can be a bit of a lost art, really, but in the Isle of Man we do tend to plough most of the ground.
And is there a certain depth farmers are looking for? You'd only be down where the cables and drains are of the island.
Normally over here, if you're in normal good going ground, people would probably want about 8 inches deep, sort of thing. So what's that, about 200 millimeters, yeah, for the normal person?
Well, I mean, we'll come to you, Robbie. Obviously you're judging the today. What's to look for? Can't be just how straight it is, because it looks pretty tricky to get it straight today.
Yeah, well, first of all, the boys have to split it out, and then they'll come and throw it back in, which forms the bye, and that's what you first see. And then they'll plough round about, and then we'll judge them. And then when they've done, I think it was 3 rounds round the bye, then they'll split onto the fella next door to them and finish with a clash.
Right. And you see them out with measuring tapes and everything like this. As everybody, they're in sort of plots. Has everyone got a certain width they've got to plough?
Yeah, well, they should be pretty parallel, to be fair. If they're not parallel, they're in trouble.
So you can't have one fella who's ploughing well doing 3/4 of it and you doing only a quarter.
Yeah, that's the way. But if you get them parallel, you're pretty set for a good finish.
But it does look tricky today. The ground, although it's a lovely day, the ground seems softer in places, and that's tricky for ploughman, isn't it? Where it's different sort of softness in different areas of the field.
Yeah, we had one guy up the top here. He had to abandon halfway through at the start. He got stuck.
Right.
It's a tough field. Yeah.
And of course, it's difficult to keep it straighter with the plough taking. Does it take more earth?
It does. Yeah. When you're ploughing across, the plough eats into the ground more, and so you have to, adjust it for that.
Yeah. But it's a good turnout.
Yeah, I think there's 18. I think maybe 18, and a set of horses as well. So yeah, it's good turnout.
Enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Winner yet?
Getting there.
Yeah.
And we're agreeing.
Yeah.
Oh, that can't be bad.
No, that's pretty good. Yeah. We're on the same page, aren't we, Phil?
Yeah. And at least it's not raining.
Yeah.
Well, there's only one set of horses here today, Nicola Ronsley and David. It's good to see the horses and the plough out.
Yeah, we've got a new sort of set up on our plough today. I've swapped the mould board for a new one. The old one was getting a bit worn. Bit of a bargain, that moldboard. It was £10.
It's
a bit,
really?
Yeah, it's a bit pitted, but yeah. I think with a bit of work and a bit of use, we'll get it right. It's packing lovely. I'm very happy with it.
Well, looking to your ploughing so far, it's pretty impressive. It's straight as a die, level.
I know. I haven't had anything to drink, you see, so it's nice and straight today. But yeah, it's ploughing nice. I think once we get it bedded in, I think it would be plough even better than that. So this is my longboard plough. So I've got a shorter one as well.
What makes are these ploughs?
They're both Ransoms. This is an RHC and the other one is an RHB.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're...
What age would they be?
Oh, I think they'll be about 100.
I would say they're probably 100 years. Towards, you know,
20s,
30s, these
ones. Yeah, so about 100 30s, years old. Wow. yeah so some
and,
of the,
and how do you find parts for them?
Well, luckily, well, not for Jim Elliott, but Jim Elliott had a sale a couple of years ago. He retired from ploughing and he sold his extensive stock. We couldn't resist, we went over, we needed parts, and we've got a full setup now. That moldboard came from that sale. We've got bolts, we've got skimmers, we've got coulters, we've got everything to set the ploughs up, really.
Well, you're the only team today with the traditional horse and plough. Not the case all the time, though? One or two doing it?
No, there's only me these days. It's been like that for the past maybe 10 years.
Where's Mr. Gorn gone?
Oh, I don't know. I think he hasn't got any horses at the moment, and they're not cheap to buy.
2 years ago we lent him our
horses. Yeah. But tell us a little bit about these pair of horses that's here. They look very similar.
Yes, they're both Comtois, which is a French breed of draft horse. So these were both born in France. We've had them 10-15 years.
Yeah.
So as far as I know, they're the only ones on the Isle of Man.
Right. Are they related, these two?
Not that I know of. Okay. No, they came from a similar part of the country, but as far as I know, they're not related.
Are these a sort of type that's traditionally been used for this sort of agricultural use?
They would be able to turn the hands to just about any farm job back in the, you know, in France in the old days, whether that's just working the land like we are today, or they're pulling the cart into the market, or carrying people to church. They were, you know, all rounder horses, really.
Yeah.
So these drive as well.
Yeah. So well behaved.
Yeah, they're brilliant on the road.
Yeah. Do you get on them for a ride, David? Well,
yeah. Getting a bit past that now. And a bit old.
It's great to see you two continuing the traditions here, though. It's great to see the horses and the plough. So keep up the good work.
These two are getting on a bit now. We've just bought a new one this year. We were planning to get another one in 3 years' time because these two are getting on, our next team. And we found out very recently she's expecting a foal. So there's our, hopefully, ready-made next team. Two for the price of one deal.
But, can't be bad. Anyway, yes. Good luck. I'll let you finish.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Nice. Nicola and David Rawnsley there, ploughing great furrows with their horses there. And also the judges, Philip Hampton and Robbie Corkish, giving us an insight on the sort of history and the reasons why farmers do the ploughing, and also what they're looking for as judges. And firstly, I spoke to Chris Clegg. It was a good day's ploughing, Kiri.
I bet it was. And did you enjoy the cake and the cottage pie?
No, I didn't have any of the cottage pie, but I certainly had a cup of tea and a bit of cake there, so it was nice, with strawberries on.
Oh, very spoilt indeed. It's a good day when the sun comes out, though, isn't it? And to see all of those ploughmen and women having a go, it's such an age-old thing, as they call it, in plough, but so essential to farm life. It's just great that there's some young ones coming through now,
too. There was. We'll have some results for you in a second or two, but when I got there, the fantastic thing, they were having the lunch, as you mentioned there. That was served from the back of the cattle trailer, you know, and they're all sitting around in the sunshine on the straw bales.
Oh,
just brilliant.
Fantastic. Yeah. And that's it, those great chats, isn't it, in the countryside, all coming together. You don't see some people from week to week or month to month or here on the Isle of Man year to year, but it's great you can have these opportunities to get together.
It is indeed. And the results from the ploughing match of the weekend?
So I believe that Steady Al, Alan Radcliffe, more formally known, and Dave Corran won the two classes there, with Eben Gellin from the Southern Young Farmers taking the Young Farmers win and the Novice class.
Indeed. Well, a few events coming up. Next weekend is the Ramsey and Onken Fur and Feather Society show at Balaff Bowling Club this time. And, well, couple of weeks' time, or week and a bit, isn't it? The Young Farmers Concert.
It's hard to believe it's come round so quickly, Simon.
It is indeed. If you want to listen again or hear the interviews in full, you can go to download the podcast from manxradio.com or your podcast provider, and you can get in touch with us as well. If you've got anything we'd like to hear from you that we can feature on Countryside, let us know. Countryside@manxradio.com. Until next week, from me, Simon Clark.
And me, Kerry Kermode.
We'll see you then. Ta-da.
Bye-bye.